Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing this morning? Everyone's doing great. My opening scene here. We'll get to it in a second. I'll start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear. Thank you so much for this time. We get to spend your word, and that we'll all get enriched by your word and some of the things that help me to point out to folks. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, I brought this map up because today is starting on Peter's second missionary journey. He's going to Lydia and then Joppa. And we're in Acts 9. And just so you can see here that his base is in Jerusalem. And we head out of Jerusalem to Lydia. You see it's about 25 miles. And then second part of it, from Lydia, he's going to be called to Joppa. And there he's going to spend some time. So so I'll start reading in Acts 9, verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Ananias, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Rise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. That's kind of a simple little thing. This is all we have on this particular one. Don't really have anything to add to it, except that after we get to the second one, I'm going to bring up an interesting parallel to something that happened in Jesus' time also. So you can see he healed, and it was quite successful in having it. My phone is going crazy. Is somebody trying to get a hold of me? Nope. Okay. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. Just double check here real quick. Okay, I'm going out. And good morning, Nancy and Kevin and Marnie. Good to see you, folks. So that's all I really have for this particular part in Lydia. I couldn't even find any pictures. It's actually got a different name now. It's called Lod, L-O-D, and it was kind of taken over more recently. It's more of an Arab area, and a lot of the I couldn't find any ruins or anything. I always find it a little disappointing when I can't necessarily find something to show you for a certain town they went to. But I do have a little bit from Joppa, so not much actually. But continuing on, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And come to find out that she was like one of those kind of ladies that just try to help everybody out, no matter how simple it might be, you know, providing a meal, sitting with someone who's sick, you know, someone like that. Just a really good, wholesome person. So she was well loved. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made. I was like, she like knitted and sewed for people. She did what she could for the folks while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeling down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. I'm going to stop there, and actually there's only one more verse, but I'll get to that at the end. I'm going to go to Matthew, a similar story that I found kind of interesting as a parallel. Not exactly, but it's one we're all very familiar with. In Matthew 5:22 is where it starts. And what I found interesting is that on the way to this is a story where Jesus met the lady with the blood issue of 12 years. But he was on his way to help a little girl. And the parallel I saw was, and we'll see here in a minute, is the fact that Jesus actually had, the only people that actually witnessed it were Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, as some people call them. And I sometimes wonder if this was a foretelling by Jesus of some of the ministry that Peter was going to get involved with. So I'm just going to read here in Mark. It's in all three Gospels, but Mark had the best explanation, I think, of all the three. So Mark starting in verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, it was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, come in, pressed behind, and touched his garment. And for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Kind of reminds me, that portion there reminds me of when the people at Joppa had heard that Peter was nearby, about 12 miles away, that they sent for him. Continuing in Mark 5:30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. Great, great story of faith. You know, she had so much faith that she knew that Jesus could save her. Great testimony to how we should, with our faith, have that same kind of belief. Continuing in verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Remember, Jesus always said, Ye of little faith, with faith he can move mountains, if it's being God's will. Okay, verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him, and this is the part, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. I get the hint here that maybe Jesus knew the future. I've often wondered at those times that we know that the Father can see beginning from the end and see all things. And a lot of those private prayers that we know Jesus did during his ministry, I sometimes wonder if that was more like a staff meeting to enlighten him as to what's coming up next and what's going to be happening in the weeks to follow. I sometimes wonder how much he knew day by day as a teenager and growing up as to his destiny, or was he kind of given it a little bit at a time? Anyways, back to Mark 5:38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Love that verse. Kind of reminds me of what they were saying to Peter, too, that they laughed because that she was already dead, and he was still going to save her. Again, faith. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Tabitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I saith unto thee, arise. That Talitha, I know it sounds a little bit like Tabitha. It kind of caught my attention. I know it's not exactly the same, but... And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with the great astonishment. I always thought that the reason you heard about these two stories simultaneously is that the woman of blood of 12 years, I wonder if she could have been the mom. I've always thought that. I don't know why, but being that the girl was 12 years old and she had an issue of blood for 12 years, so... Just speculation, things that make you go, And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. And I'll just mention this other thing that in Luke, it also says that Peter, James, and John were with him in the house. And the father and mother of the maiden. So hard to know if, because it doesn't mention the mother there of the maiden. Don't know if that's the woman with the 12 years of blood or not, but it probably isn't. Just my speculation. But back to Acts 9:43. And after this, Peter, and it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Now, that verse is rather interesting. A couple of things about a tanner. A tanner is a person that basically a leather crafter. He would take in hides and prepare them to be used as whatever, clothing or belts or whatever. But that particular type of industry was considered not kosher by Jews. So I found it very interesting, as we're going to see tomorrow, that Simon is going to get called. And it's going to be that famous scene we all have heard of about Simon, and Jesus gives him a vision about what's clean and unclean. And I sometimes wonder if Simon ended up staying with this tanner as a forerunner to get him used to the idea that what God says is clean, and to get him ready for being able to work with the Gentiles. So, just a little bit of speculation. I was reading some commentaries on it, and some people believe that he may have, because you know, before he was a fisherman, so being near the tanner was actually on the coast. Joppa is on the coast, and maybe he went there with the idea of supporting himself with fishing, or that he may have been employed by the tanner to make some money to support himself. We know that was a big thing for the Lord kind of insisted upon, as we saw with Paul, that he always managed to take care of himself. He would accept donations, but he didn't necessarily rely on it. So in that for today, and today's prophecy moment, being it's Christmas week, I'm continuing with the theme of that. And today we're going to talk about the prophecy of Jesus being born of a virgin. And we see that in Isaiah 7:14. Now I'll just read here. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I think we've all heard that verse many, many times. And coming to pass is in Matthew. It's actually in a couple of the Gospels. Matthew had a pretty good one. I use it for an example. I think it's in Luke also. But in Matthew 1:18, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm pointing out here is not necessarily the fact that she was a virgin and that Joseph and her had not had any kind of relations. That's why I picked this one. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There's another confirmation that she was not impregnated by any man, but by the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this is where it confirms about Isaiah, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So that's today's prophecy moment, and that's it for today. Hope everybody has a great day, and I did have one picture to show. This one here. This is a street in Joppa that's considered to be really, really old. And it could be an area where the tanner might have been, this particular district. At least that's what they said in the caption for the picture. So that's the only picture I really have of Joppa. They have some other ones there, but they're more like tourist attractions. They have a building there that says that's actually named Simon the Tanner, but the caption says that it's actually very modern. It was built in the 1900s as a more of a tourist idea, and I guess that person sells different kinds of wares inside to symbolize Peter's time there. So that's all I got for today. Now I'm going to prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for this word. And thank you, Lord, so much that you teach us so many things through your word that it's important to have faith and to always rely on you, and that your wisdom is a thing we rely on. We know that we don't always get everything we ask for, and we know that it's always the best because you know what's best for us every single day. And we'll keep looking to you for our comfort and for our wisdom. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Okay, I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.